Welcome to the Ashley Hand Show and to Reignited, a series of potent conversations with incredible individuals who have risen from the ashes of who they once were and reimagined, rediscovered, realigned, and reignited the most liberated expression of who they are now. So if you're in the midst of a transition, a shift, or maybe even a dark night of the soul, this is for you. And as for me, I'm Ashley Han, brand strategist, entrepreneur, author, coach, and as of last year, I am now a mother, which in and of itself has been one of, if not the most transformational experience of my lifetime. It's why I took off over a year from this very podcast. I have been deep in my own process of rediscovering, realigning, and reigniting this new version of me. And if you want to hear more about that story, listen to the first episode of this series. Now, let's get ready to feel reinvigorated and reignited in today's episode. Oh, and be sure to stay tuned until the very end because I am announcing something super special and time sensitive that I'm really excited about. Let's dive into it. This episode was a request. I actually put a poll up on my IG story asking for podcast episode requests, and this was one of them. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, yeah, that's the one I'm doing my next episode on. Because honestly, I don't think that I've ever really shared, at least not on a personal level, about this topic on my podcast. I've been interviewed on other podcasts and shared a little bit. So I'm really excited to dive in to what this episode is about, which is really me sharing my journey and lessons that I've learned in sisterhood and friendships. And I'll be talking about the sister wound and how it's played out in my own life, and what I'm doing to heal it, and how I've really just redefined what sisterhood means to me and thereby really recreated it in my life. So first off, what even is this term that I feel like is thrown out all over the place these days, which is the sister wound? So put simply, the sister wound is the culmination of general pain and distrust that many women feel towards one another and in relating with other women. And it shows up as jealousy, judgment, insecurity, cattiness, comparison, etc. And where it came from, where it originated, it's actually this deep programming and conditioning that has been passed down generation to generation of this unprocessed pain and grief and unhealthy survival coping mechanisms that resulted from these really tough times for women and really the rise of patriarchy in society. So I'm not going to go too deep into that. I really am going to talk more on sort of sharing the roller coaster ride I've had when it comes to female friendships and my biggest lessons and takeaways. So I'll just start by saying that two of the greatest heartbreaks that I've ever known were from female friendships. And I feel like the reason why these best friend breakups, if we call them that, are so painful is because with women, it's such a profoundly deep connection. It's different than with a romantic partner, than with a man. We share our innermost desires, our dreams, our insecurities, our deepest insecurities with our girlfriends, right? So it's really a type of relationship and a feeling that I believe you'll never really be able to have with your romantic partner. That's my opinion. And the two deepest friendships that I've had in my life both ended with betrayal. And I put betrayal in quotation marks because betrayal looks different for everyone, because betrayal is personal. It's the violation of a person's trust or confidence based on a personal moral standard that they have, right? Or code that they have, or principles, values that they live by, right? So that's why I say what might feel like betrayal to me may not feel like betrayal to you or the next person, because it's really personal on your standards, your values, the way that you operate. And so I'm going to talk more about that a little later, because that really ties directly to a key lesson that I have learned throughout the hardships that I face when it comes to female friendships. So the two deepest friendships that I've had, where it was like attached at the hip,
sisterhood. You wouldn't find me without her or her without me. We were attached at the hip type of friendship. I'm going to use code names. Okay. So the first one we'll call Sharon and the second one we'll call Bernice. All right. So we got Sharon, we got Bernice. So with Sharon, she had, this is my dad's words, okay? She had what my dad called diarrhea of the mouth, okay? And what that means is that she could not keep her mouth shut when I would tell her things. So this happened in like very mild ways throughout our friendship, you know, more minor ways where I would tell her something in confidence and she would end up telling somebody else. And this happened in like smaller ways. And then finally it happened in like a couple bigger ways where I had explicitly told her, do not share this with anyone. As you know, with your girlfriends, like your closest girlfriends, you share the deepest of deep things, the darkest of dark things that you carry inside. You share with them and it feels so good to do that, right? Like that's one of the best feelings because then it feels like you're not going through whatever challenge or dark period that you're going through alone. Like you have someone to go through it with, which is so important and part of our human nature to want that and to have that. So anyways, I digress. The straw that broke the camel's back with Sharon and I's friendship is I had told her the secret of all secrets. And this is at this point in time in my life. The thing that I carried the most shame about, the thing that was hardest for me to share, that was the most vulnerable for me to share with her. And because I had known about her inability to keep some secrets in the past, she kept some of them, but she also shared some of them as well. I really like laid it down thick. This is just between you and I. You're the only person I'm telling. Do not tell anybody else. And I even asked her that before I told her. Right? Because I wanted to make sure like it was safe for me to share this and I could trust that she would keep it between us. Well, I'm sure you know where this is going because she didn't keep it between us. And I'll never forget, I get a phone call like just days later from my male cousin, telling me about what he had heard about me and if it were true, da-da-da-da. And you know how gossip goes, right? It's like playing telephone. It all just gets all warped in the end and it's just this whole shit show. Anyway, it was devastating. Like I remember when I got that news, I was at my boyfriend's house at the time and I just started crying on the couch, just bawling. And part of the reason why I was crying is, yes, devastation of everyone knowing this now, the secret that I held so close that I carried so much shame about. And the second being that Sharon was the one who shared it, that my best friend, my sister, did that. So I knew after that moment that I just couldn't be friends with her anymore, at least not at this level. And I had that conversation with her and I just said, look, like this has happened one too many times. And this time was the time of all times. Like this was the thing of all things that I trusted you with to keep close to your heart and to not share with anybody else. And you did. And in order for me to build and to have a close friendship, a best friend, I need to be able to trust that person. And I no longer trust you. And that was that. And it was really hard. But I will tell you, my next best friend breakup was definitely harder because this one, I would say the red flags were really obvious in the beginning. Like I knew she had this problem of kind of telling people and then apologizing about it afterward and saying, sorry, I just couldn't help it. It just came out, da, da, da. So it was kind of like I sort of foresaw it happening. And when it did, it was like, all right, so no more. And that was really hard. You know, it took me a while to trust again. And years later, this is when I moved to San Diego. So this was after college. My friendship with Sharon, that was like, by the way, we were best friends for 10 years. And that friendship was like all through elementary, junior high, and high school. So it was also a very young friendship. So lots of learning there, right? And so the second friendship was with Bernice. And we were 6 years of friendship, inseparable, told her everything, confided her with everything. If y'all been following me for a while, you may know this story, so I'm just kind of breeze through it. I was in a very toxic relationship at the time. And every time that I would be shattered by the relationship and heartbroken, she was there, you know, to pick up the pieces with me and to help me and to support me and empower me. And she would often say things like, I don't know why you're staying with him. I don't know what you see in him, da, da, da. But I'll always support what you choose, da, da, da. Well, anyways, we ended up having the fight to end all fights. I ended up choosing to leave once and for all. Very tough decision. It was very heartbreaking. By the way, this man was the most serious relationship I had had up until this point in my life. The only man I had lived with, the only man I had talked about marriage with. So yeah, it was a really big decision for me and one that I knew I had to make. Still didn't make it any less difficult, but I made the decision. And as I'm on my healing path and opening myself up again, it was like, you know, 2 months or so later, and I started to date again and kind of, you know, dip my toes in that water again. I was actually seeing a guy, and what I noticed is that Bernice was pulling away a lot and seemed to just be really distant, like just really distant. I kept trying to hang out with her, and she always had some kind of reason why she couldn't hang out. And then finally, I get this phone call where she admits to me that she has been seeing and dating my ex behind my back, had no idea about it. And that was really tough for me because this is another realization that I had, right? Is like, and in these moments throughout life, like we realize, well, we can choose to realize and come connect to an even more depth of ourselves and a truth within us and our core values and refine them even more. Like one thing I knew, but I didn't know, like I wouldn't have maybe said this out loud potentially, is that when I have a close girlfriend of mine, and ladies listening, you may feel this way or maybe you may not. There's no right or wrong. It's just the way that I am. Is when I have a close girlfriend and she is seeing someone, a guy, he immediately becomes my brother. Like there is like this biological thing that happens in my body where like even if he's totally my type on paper and he's physically attractive, it doesn't matter. She's my sister, therefore he becomes my brother. And that's just how I am. That's how I operate. And I realized that not every woman operates this way. Not every woman has that. And so anyways, it was a very shocking experience for me, very painful. That friendship took me like 2-3 years to finally let go of and forgive and experience healing and freedom around. And it taught me a lot. So now I kind of want to get into the lessons that I've learned. And really, it boils down to two core things. The first, when people show you who they are, believe them. I was ignoring red flag after red flag after red flag, justifying, making reasons for it because I loved her so much that I wanted it to work. And I was so attached to my vision with this particular friend working out that I wasn't honoring myself. I was actually betraying myself in the meantime, betraying my values and my truth by just turning a blind eye, turning the other cheek to what was very clearly a violation of what I believed and what was true for me and my values. The second thing is, and this goes hand in hand with the first thing, is you gotta get super crystal clear about your values, the principles, the way in which you perceive and view life, the values you operate by, and your boundaries. It's so important that you get super clear about those pieces because I am telling you, there are so many different strokes for so many different folks, and you may think that she's just like you or he's just like you, and actually, no. So getting super clear on what your core values are and defining them. For example, loyalty to one person may mean something totally different to the other person. It's really important that you define these and that in your friendships, you have conversations early on and really determine whether or not there is alignment there and you both believe the same things. So those are my biggest two learnings. And the third thing that I really want to talk about is more so around the healing. Like, how do we heal? And how did I heal my sister wound? And how have I been healing? Because by the way, it's a journey, right? It's a process. It keeps unfolding and there's different levels to which we can rise to. And what I want to say is, I believe that the sister wound is being brought forth a lot right now. Like, we're hearing about it a lot. because we are asked to really see it right now, to really feel it, and to really understand what is true sisterhood and what isn't, and to realize that we're not separate, that we are in this together, and that together we rise, and that now it's time for this cycle of competition and separation and betrayal and all these things to die. It's time to see that another sister's success is your success, that her pain is your pain, that her beauty is a reflection of your beauty, her light is a mirror of your light, that we are all reflections of each other. And I feel that we are being called to remember this right now. And it's this call back to oneness. And this doesn't mean, as I have shared in this podcast episode, that every single woman on this planet is your bestie and that they're aligned for you in that way. But it does mean that we don't have to agree with someone to love someone. And I am proud to say that through a lot of work, inner work and journeying that I've been on, I have come to a place of fully wrapping Sharon and Bernice in love and forgiveness. And what I've realized is that forgiveness has nothing to do with making what they did okay in my eyes. It's not about that. It's about freeing myself from the resentment and the pain that I was harboring. When we forgive someone, that resentment, that pain, all that icky stuff, we're able to release that from our bodies. So it's freeing for us. It's a beautiful thing. And I feel like forgiveness can be so misconstrued. It's not about the other person. It's about you and your freedom. And it's about the return to unconditional love and to oneness. You see, just because I love her doesn't mean that I need to be in close relationship with her, right? We may not be in close relationship because our values don't align truly. So soothing these wounds with unconditional acceptance and love and forgiveness is how we transmute it. And there are really four key pathways that I really want to kind of dive deeper into around healing the sister wound. And the first and most important one is we heal the sister wound very similar to how we heal any wound, which is by becoming aware of and questioning our current conditioning and beliefs around that very thing, around sisterhood. We must be willing to question what appears to be true for us in order to decide what gets to be true for us moving forward. Secondly, we get to choose to stop giving into the pressure and the ease of perpetuating the sister wound. And what I mean by this is, and you know what I'm talking about here, when you see it or when you feel it, there's like a group of women who are gossiping or judging another woman or shaming or mocking. The best thing that you can do, which is also the hardest thing, is actually not participating and maybe even speaking and saying your truth. But at the very least, the best thing you can do is bow out. Don't participate in that, which can feel really awkward in the moment. You can even speak up and say, hey, what's happening right now is really not in alignment for me and what I want to create in the world. And so, like, for me, by the way, gossiping is a hard boundary. Like, I do not tolerate gossip. So when I'm in a circle where that starts to happen, I will either just walk away, or I will actually, if it's a smaller group, I'll actually say, hey, can we actually talk about something else? Because this is really against my boundary of gossiping. I just don't gossip. And a lot of women will understand that. And then if they don't, they're not the match for you. So ideally, in this second piece of not giving into the pressure and the perpetuation of this wound, is that we are brave enough to bow out and stand up for ourselves and for even the woman who is being judged upon and the quote unquote victim. So yeah, it's getting really clear about your boundaries and what you accept and what you don't. The third way to healing the sister wound is getting honest with yourself and others. Another really challenging and painful part of healing the sister wound is admitting that you're not just a victim of it, so that you've also been the perpetrator. I have a personal story of this. So after what I had experienced with Bernice, you know, I went through some stuff. And what I found is that, you know, what they say, like, hurt people, and like how we project our pain onto others. I had done that with a friend of mine who meant a lot to me and still means a lot to me. And I caught myself doing that, projecting onto her. and it wasn't fair. And it was innocent. I was doing it completely innocently through a wound. And I was aware that I'd done it and that I didn't want to continue that friendship with it that way. Like, it felt like it was icky. So I had a conversation with her and it was really beautiful. And it was also very scary. I will tell you, leading up to that phone call, I was so nervous to admit like how I had projected onto her and the stories I had made up about her and where that had come from, like being vulnerable and sharing where it had come from and all of that. And it ended up, I will tell you, it ended up being the most beautiful conversation. It was so healing for both of us. And it ended up making us even closer. Now I consider her one of my very closest friends. And so, you know, we can really heal collectively when we're brave enough to bring our entire selves to the table and be vulnerable enough to talk about these things. The fourth way to healing is getting in circle with other women who are doing this work. I believe that this is really how we actively heal this wound and start to reprogram and recalibrate to a new way of relating to each other. Especially if, like, in the past, when you've been in circle with other women, it's felt icky and it's felt out of alignment. What better way to reprogram that by sitting in a circle with women who are like-minded, who are aligned? And when you sit with other women who are on this path, who are committed to creating healing and safety for other women to show up and to be accepted and loved as they are, new neural pathways and connections start to be formed, and the healing and the reprogram starts to happen right then and there in real time. I've seen it, I've been witness to it, and I've experienced it myself. It's truly so powerful. And by the way, speaking of circling up with other like-minded, amazing, aligned women, this is exactly what is happening at my upcoming Reignite Retreat, if you haven't heard about it yet. It is all about women gathering together to do the deep work together, to feel renewed and re-inspired, reinvigorated and reignited and on fire from the inside out, while other like-minded, amazing women are fanning their flames. Because that's what it's all about. That's what I'm committed to creating. Women igniting other women. It's about rising together. So if that sounds like something exciting to you, then go ahead and click the link in the show notes. And otherwise, I hope you've enjoyed this episode. I hope you've been able to relate in some way, shape, or form, and that this has supported you in your journey and in you creating and cultivating the most aligned and nourishing female friendships and sisterhood in your life. I'll see you on the next episode. If this episode made a difference for you, please be sure to leave a rating and review. It means so, so much to me, and it fuels me to continue to create more episodes and content like this. Also, as promised, I have a very special and exciting announcement to share with you. If you find yourself currently going through a transition in your life, whether that be an identity shift, a breakup, or maybe you've recently become a new mom like me, maybe you've recently become an empty nester, or maybe you just feel like you've lost that spark you once had and you want to reactivate your feminine power. Well, beautiful, I'm excited to announce that I am hosting the Reignite Retreat in October 2023, where I will be curating a special space for women to come to feel, to heal, and clear the old parts of themselves that they are ready to shed so that they can rise up, rediscover, reimagine, realign, and reignite their purpose, their passion, and their life. It's about rebirth. It's about rediscovering yourself, reimagining what's possible for you, and reclaiming your power. So if you're ready and excited to feel reignited from the inside out, come join me at the Reignite Retreat 2023. Click the link in the show notes to learn more and apply. Thanks for listening to today's episode, and we'll see you next time.